Time for another NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 700. We start with the Grizzlies play-by-play man, Eric Hasseltine, live in Memphis. Warriors and Grizzlies tied at one as the series shifts to the grindhouse. And Eric, boy, what an inspirational effort from Mike Conley to get him back in the series.
Yeah, that was big. Mike was a warrior, to say the least. Even though they're playing the Warriors, he went out there and fought through a very difficult injury and gave the Grizzlies a much-needed spark. And it was going to take a lot to keep him out of that game. Even his family, his parents, his wife were saying, don't play. And Mike basically said, look, I can't let my teammates down. I got to be out there. We've got a chance to potentially do some special things as a group, and I want to be part of it. So, I'm not a betting man, but when I saw the morning practice, if I had been, I would have said he was going to play, but no one knew for sure. And then, in typical Mike Conley fashion, he shows up and is massive for the team. He's played banged up all year long and has never complained, never made an excuse, and hates it when he doesn't play. So he went in there and gave them the spark that they needed to bounce back and even up that series at a game apiece.
Yeah, Eric, you know better than any of us that when they mention the top point guards in the West, it's rarely Mike Conley. But if you look at the guts and the grizzle and the talent and everything combined, what a leader. And the thing that blew me away about the other night is, some guys, if you're recovering from an injury, you can do some conditioning. Well, the nature of that, the facial surgery, is he could not ride the bike. He couldn't get his blood pressure up. He couldn't put any extra force inside his head. So he hadn't played at all in 8 days, if I have it right. And then he comes out and not only, plays, but delivers and hits some big shots and chases Steph Curry around and gives him fits.
Scored 9 points in the first 6 minutes of the game and really helped propel the Grizzlies to a lead they never relinquished. Golden State only led that game for 20 seconds, and it was a three-point lead, and Mike Conley came down and behind a Zach Randolph screen, although Warrior fans might say it was a moving screen, he knocked Steph Curry down. And I can't necessarily say that that's not the case, but it's playoff basketball, and so they didn't blow the whistle, and Mike Conley just calmly sunk a right-wing three and had the first five of the game for the Grizz. So it was massive because, like you said, he hasn't played, and certainly the legs were out there. Dave Yeager managed his minutes beautifully, I thought, and he was able to go hard and go, right at the teeth of their defense. It wasn't as much the threes that I saw him make that impressed me the most. It was the runners. It was going into the lane and not fearing the contact. Now, he still took a shot in the second half. He went to the floor to get a loose ball. Draymond Green reaching for it as Mike's calling timeout, makes contact with that eye area, and a lot of people in Memphis didn't take too kindly to that, but I have a hard time believing that Draymond Green was trying to seriously injure another player by doing that. I think that's just heat of the moment and part of the game, and so he fought through that and stayed in the game and really gave the Grizzlies what they needed on both ends of the floor, defensively chasing Steph Curry and offensively making the Warriors' defense, stay home and not cheat and just double Zach and Mark and try to take away the interior. Because if you do that against Conley and Lee in the game at the same time, they're going to burn you. And Courtney hit some big shots as well. So the backcourt really rose to the occasion as a group.
It's TK in the midday, Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700. We're broadcasting live from J. Brooks Jewelers, 152 Winchester at the south end of Fashion Place Mall. We're with Eric Hasseltine, the radio play-by-play voice of the Grizzlies. Okay, tomorrow, Steph's not going to go 2-for-10. You're going to probably get the Warriors' best shot. And I know it's been a struggle during the regular season. That's the one that I guess everybody's pointing to. The 2-1 edge is huge.
Yeah. It's massive, and it's actually not till Saturday, so it's a really weird quirk in the schedule that you have this long off. Both teams a chance to make adjustments, both teams a chance to get guys right. Although the Warriors are pretty healthy, the Grizzlies are really thankful for those extra days, and for whatever reason, that's the way the schedule broke. But there's not a ticket left to be had inside FedEx Forum. They heard how loud the Golden State crowd was, and it was phenomenal, as it always is. And so they're going to try to raise their game as well as the team. And you hear the chance of MVP for Steph Curry when you're in Golden State or even James Harden in Houston. I think you're going to hear a lot of first team chants last night for Tony, or Saturday night for Tony Allen. So I expect it to be a battle. I certainly, like you said, Tom, I don't expect the Warriors to necessarily shoot below 30% from three. But I think a lot of that also has to do with the way the Grizzlies defend, the way they chase guys off the line and make it uncomfortable. And so when you finally do get an open look, maybe you rush a little bit more because they're coming fewer and farther between. So If the Grizzlies control the pace like they did in game number two, then they got a real good chance to win. If the Warriors control the pace like they did in the first half of game one, then that certainly favors them. But if you look at the last six quarters, the Grizzly defense has been phenomenal, holding that explosive Warriors team to under 25 points in each of those quarters and several sub-20-point quarters, which is just unheard of against a team with that kind of firepower.
No, no question. And you got to think if you can just find some way to in some way control the Warriors' backcourt. I know the Splash Brothers are hard to hold under maybe 70, but you got to figure that Zebo and Marc Gasol are going to win that battle and maybe win it pretty big because, I mean, you know, they just are better.
They've been able to get those guys in foul trouble, and Steve Kerr is still electing to play more straight up with Green and Bogut going one-on-one with Zach and Mark, and Draymond Green getting two early fouls in game two was a big factor that I don't think a lot of people are talking about because he was so big in game one in the first quarter. He picked up two early fouls with about 9.5 minutes left to go in the quarter, and he was done for the first quarter, and I think that took him out of rhythm. So I expect him to go right at him, try to draw him in foul trouble. It's now really three straight games that these two teams have played that Green has been in foul trouble because he has a hard time, you know, eventually not fouling those guys. Even though he's a tremendous defender, you just keep going at a guy and it's physical. Eventually the whistle's going to blow. And so they've done a good job of isolating that and trying to get Randolph at him, trying to get Gasol at him and driving into the bucket. So, yeah, if we could find a way to slow down the Splash Brothers, that would be great. You know, I wouldn't mind if the NBA said you can put an extra defender out there, kind of like a rover in slow-pitch softball. But for some reason, I don't think they're going to let us do that. So going to have to be a team effort like it was in the last game. And if Tony Allen plays like he did, that's certainly a bonus for the Grizz because he's been terrific with seven steals in the first two games. And showing why he should be on the first team all defensive team and why he got my vote for one of the guard positions there.
I like the way he reminded us in the fourth quarter. Yeah. It was a running diatribe. That was funny. and that's just part of his personality. And I think he's sending a message to the referees as well, isn't he? The Warriors letting them know that he can defend and the refs letting them know that maybe he can, you know, let me bump a little more.
Well, it's funny. I talk to people about Tony a lot because they're like, this guy's a character, and I've had the good fortune of watching him now for going on six seasons here in Memphis, and that's Tony. That's Tony in a nutshell. He absolutely plays with an unbridled emotion that you just don't curtail, and you know, he tells me flat out he doesn't even know half the time some of the things he does. He'll give a first down signal going the other way after forcing a turnover, even if it's not a steal, or he'll say first team all defense, or he'll flex for the crowd. And you ask him, and he's like, yeah, I kind of just get caught in the moment. You know, the Warrior fans were booing him and booing him vehemently because in game one, just typical Tony, he was kind of so locked in, he walked right through a junior Warriors dance performance and didn't even realize it till he was in the middle of it, so he had to walk out. He high-fived one of the kids, but as any fan base would, they booed him for it because they thought it was intentional and he was just disrespecting their, you know, their youngsters, which that's not Tony at all if you know him. So he fed off that, and you know, he's a vocal guy and plays with emotion, but rarely is it trash talk like at a player. It's more to himself, and it's usually along those lines of first team and things like that. But he's also a tough guy. You know, at one point last year, the Grizzlies had probably, in my opinion, three of the five guys in the NBA you didn't want to mess with when they had James Johnson, who's a six-degree black belt. You matched him with Zach Randolph and Tony Allen, and those three dudes are three of the toughest guys in the league. And, you know, James has moved on to Toronto, but they fit, you know, Zach and Tony fit what the Grizzlies do. They play tough. You know, they call them the Beale Street Bullies, but they can also play the game, and I think that gets lost sometimes because they are so physical. They're good basketball players. Right. Zach Randolph has good touch on his shot. Right. Tony Allen moves well without the basketball.
Okay, 48 minutes to a 2-1 lead. What do you look for early? What kind of has to happen for the Warriors? I guess Conley has to be Conley and be okay, and then maybe you hope that Steph and Clay don't make everything.
You gotta control the tempo. You've got to get the ball inside. You've got to take the open shots when you have them. I thought they did a great job of that in the first quarter. Courtney Lee fired away. Mike Conley fired away. Tony Allen was moving without the ball. So if you're going to try to double mark or Zach, then, you know, the ball gets moving. If they keep the ball moving but also control the tempo, you know, they can score. They almost hung 100 on Golden State while holding them to 90, and yet they controlled the game. And so I feel like they can get into the hundreds. When they do, they're virtually unbeatable. But to do that, they've got to get the looks that they want and be ready to take them. I thought in game one they got a little passive when they got behind. They're not a great comeback team. They're much more of a let's get a lead and let our defense go to work and take care of this for us. So I think it's playing from a position of strength, getting off to a good start, keeping the crowd engaged, and chasing the Warriors off the three-point line. If a guy's open and you got to run at him and he pump fakes and steps in and hits a deep two, you'll live with that. Right. But if you let him shoot wide open threes and don't contest, they're going to burn you and they're going to hit 12 or 13 or 14, and that's going to be a lot to overcome for a team that if they hit 6 or 7, that's a good night. So you don't want to get into those numbers. So I think those are the biggest keys. And also limiting offensive rebounds. The Warriors didn't get a lot of second-chance points in Game 2. They did in Game 1. They had actually 7 in the third quarter in Game 1, and that's where they pulled away. So you keep them from getting second-chance opportunities, and you got a good chance to take a 2-1 lead, I think, on your home floor.
All right, Eric, as usual, great stuff. Enjoy a wild and crazy grindhouse Saturday. Warriors and Grizzlies, Game 3, a huge one. And as always, I know you'll look forward to it. You'll do a great job. We appreciate your joining us here on NBAWire.com Fast Break right here on ESPN 700.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you having me.